you know, inducted into this family of Twin Shadow people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's some pretty cool names on that list.
Yeah.
Some pretty not so cool names. No, okay. We've been lucky. We've had amazing people. I think there's only been one person that
comes on. It's always like, awesome.
No, that's not true. There are two people.
Everyone who comes on always amazes me. We'll put it that way.
That's true.
I listen to this podcast where these British comedians talk about like dream menus, like food, the best food you've ever had. And they got Dan Aykroyd to show up once.
Wow. Yeah.
And the whole time he just talked about his Crystal Skull vodka and how delicious it was and all the stories about him mixing up drinks with Crystal Skull vodka at his vacation homes, numerous vacation homes. And then at the end of the podcast, he said, "Good luck with your project, boys." And this podcast has been running for like 4 years and it's one of the most successful.
I would have him
ones.
Drink with me.
Yes.
Skull Crystal Vodka.
Let's drink from the skull.
Oh, yeah.
He'd make you pay for it too. He wouldn't give you a bottle for the show.
Dude, I could talk with Dan Aykroyd about aliens for a long time.
He wouldn't. He'd just talk about his vodka.
Yeah, but I would make it about aliens every time. I'd be like, "Do you think aliens would like your Crystal Vodka?" And he'd be like, "Yes, aliens would like my Crystal Vodka. I am a Crystal Vodka drinker." And I'd be like, "Oh, well, would aliens put Crystal Vodka in my butt?" And he would
Let's
be
find
like,
out.
"Aliens would put Crystal Vodka in your butt."
Yeah.
"They would put it in your hut and you can drink it with King Tut." And welcome to Twin Shadows Podcast. This is a podcast about filmmaking and filmmakers. And you're joined as always by your two co-hosts, Tom and Steve. And today, you're getting spoiled again with a special guest. We have special guests after special guests, so you're welcome. And today we have our good buddy, Jared. And Jared, do you want your last name said?
I want you to say it without... Oh, you looked it up.
I was like, I can't remember what his name is
I want you to say it
now.
Without looking at your phone.
Jared, I apologize. Jared Reyes.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys did a rolling start there. I didn't know you were already recording. Was all that Dan Aykroyd stuff?
Yeah, that's going to be that's the opening of the show.
Love it.
Yeah, welcome to Twin Shadows Podcast. I don't know if you ever listen to our show. Not that you have to, but I guess if...
I'm a big fan.
But, you know, I recommend
this. Starting fantastically.
All right, so yeah, we're going to start off as we always do with, you know, our personal intros about how, you know, our week was and if we saw anything new or interesting. Steven.
I saw Dune 2.
Don't go first.
Okay.
Why don't we go with Jared over here since he's our special guest. And
yes, of course. Guests should always go first.
Yeah. Fact.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Did I see anything interesting? On the movie front, no. I meant to do a little bit of catch up for this thing, but, you know, life got in the way and things didn't work out. But I hope that doesn't reflect poorly on me as a person going forward. I hope people don't revolt. Cancel their subscription to this podcast or however that works.
People. Singular.
It's literally me. I edit it.
I hope you enjoy it.
And I'm the only
it.
One who listens.
And if you Let's do go. Listen, let us know and buy a shirt. Okay, we don't have shirts. But whatever. Okay, so yeah. So personally, you doing all right then? You said you were busy. You couldn't watch a movie. So is everything, you know, going A-okay then?
Yeah, it's going all right. I'm just trying to get my back figured out. I got some back pain. You know, we're all at that age
where
things start creaking. Things don't work like they used to work.
Oh, yeah. A lot of things have failed me many times, Jared.
Yeah.
Ever look at stairs in a new light? Can I make it all the way up?
I really have to think, like, how badly do I want to stand up right now?
Yeah. I'm really thankful for wheelchairs. I mean, like for my desk, you know, and other wheelchairs. I mean, it's a great invention. You know, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to my day. You know, I'm already picked out my van and everything. You know, got to get one of those Astro vans, you know. I could live out of it too because I'll probably be homeless.
Oh, you will. Yeah. Still podcasting.
It'll be a rolling man in the van. Oh shit, I'm sorry.
Write Steven, that down.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you sorry, I cut you off at Dune 2.
Yeah, I saw it. Did you see it, Jared?
I've not seen the first one. I'm not too I don't know anything about Dune. Like, I never read the books. So the hype didn't catch me.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't. We wanted to do an episode on Tom Explains Dune. Because I never read the books. I saw the films. And I don't understand shit. Especially the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like those... They're more like of a visual experience.
It's like okay, this is what I know about Dune. Okay. Spice is what everyone wants. There's a prince god boy who everyone looks up to because he is the spice lord. There's giant worms. Somebody's mom is secretly pulling the strings, I think. Something like... No. There's a race of like powerful ladies who are like super smart or something.
Quite a bit. You got Dune more than most.
I think you actually might know it better than me.
That's all I know.
I mean, I don't know about Spice Lord. I guess
there's something with him. He's like spoilers, special.
I guess.
He's the God Boy. Something. He's God, the same person God reincarnated. Boy. Is that what it is? He's reincarnated.
No,
I have no fucking clue, man.
No, he's
the Messiah, right?
He's the Kwisatz Haderach or whatever. He is prescient. Like, he can see the future. And he can communicate with all his past lives.
Is he the only one who can see the future?
A lot of people can kind of see the future, but he can see it the best. He's the best future seer guy.
Well, that'd be very useful, I think. Yeah. If you could just see the future a little bit.
Because the way the prescience works, right? It's like he's seeing like all the, there's like, the problem is you don't just see like the future. You see like every future.
That's possible.
Yeah. But he gets to see the one that's like, he like gets like a helper, you know? It's like, this is probably the best one.
Like, there's infinite, so let's kind of go this way.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's useful too.
Yeah, it's like, well, you're never going to lose a battle once you see yourself already have won it.
Imagine if you lose it though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. What? They cheated.
I have a question.
Sorry. Yeah.
So he can see into the future.
Yeah.
How far?
Pretty fucking far, man. Like,
does he get to choose?
10,000 years, I think.
Oh, really?
So, okay.
Oh, damn.
So he's bullshitting everyone. Because you can't check his work.
There are some things that are blocked from him, and that's like because there's other weird witches doing weird witchy stuff, you know?
Witchy stuff to him?
Yeah. Like, I'm spoiling too much of the newer stuff.
Oh, these are spoilers?
Trust me, you're not spoiling anything.
Just set it up for us.
Okay.
Just explain.
What am I talking about?
It's Farsight.
Oh, yeah. So he can see, but he doesn't get to see, like, it's not always, like, perfect. Mm-hmm. So, like, he misses some important things. I'm just walking around the spoilers now.
But that's his ability, right?
Yeah, but he can also communicate with all the past male and females of his line. So the Bene Gesserit, the witches, they can do it as well, but only with the females.
Special ladies.
Yeah. Which are like, they do weird breeding things.
And he's the only man, right?
Yeah, he's the only man. And because men are the best.
Yeah,
he's men can see the future. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Jesus. That's, we lack foresight more than anything. I mean, I think that's why he's the bad guy in the movie. Yep.
All right. Well, that's Dune. Yeah. That's pretty much.
Yep. There it was.
Yeah, it was.
So do you guys do thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Definitely thumbs up. Denis Villeneuve's a good filmmaker.
He's one of the best, I think.
And I think one of the best, one of the things I like the most about Dune, both of them, is the scale he was able to capture.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty damn amazing.
Especially if you watch it on the big screen. Did you watch it in IMAX?
Fuck no, that shit was too expensive. Oh, okay. We went to the Civic Plaza where the big screen.
Yeah.
But it was super dark and there's like a burnt spot in the center.
Oh.
But it was like $10 each. So I was like,
That was just not? The sun and Dune, bro.
What are you talking about?
No, but yeah, watching that, like the way he captures scale, like you said, and the visual contrasts are like pretty nice.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was definitely really good.
I give it
one of the better films being made. Right.
It's so funny watching that when everyone just was talking about Oppenheimer. Mm. I was like, Oppenheimer is just, like I said, Oppenheimer is just all money. That movie is just literally money thrown at the screen.
Yeah.
Good or bad, that's what it is, I think.
Weren't they the same budgets?
Yeah, probably. No way. Dune had have a much lesser budget.
You think?
Yeah.
Because Oppenheimer was, what, $200 million?
Yeah. You got to buy all that film for Oppenheimer.
Yeah. IMAX stock, bro. That's expensive.
I think the cast is probably 70% of that movie's budget.
Definitely, man.
And they bought all their awards, you know? Jeez.
But in a sense, you know, shouldn't it be... never mind. Scratch that thought. Incomplete thought.
This might be skipping ahead, but...
there's no skipping. It's just...
I'm so...
Yeah.
Can I curse on this thing?
Absolutely.
I'm so fucking sick of biopics cleaning up at the Oscars.
Oh, yes.
I'm so... it's like, yeah, there. Some of these are like really good movies and whatnot, but there are so many other great movies with like a great artistic vision that are completely original stories that people
Dark
work
Harvest.
Hard on. That they're just like, oh, well, they just told the story about this real dude who really lived and all they had to do was, you know, read his fucking autobiography and then they wrote the script.
Yeah, they just had to go to his Wikipedia page and ask ChatGPT to write the script.
Exactly. But there's people out there like...
I'm with you, Jared, 100%. I'm so fucking sick of biopic equaling like artsy-fartsy film.
Yeah.
To like, oh, it's a biopic about... Napoleon, it must be artsy fartsy, super. It's like, man, like, what happened to Good Will Hunting? You know, like, where's the Good Will Huntings of the world?
Yeah.
And that's what Past Lives kind of was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like that sweet little personal story. It was like it's like a more of an biopic.
where's that made? Is that US or Korean?
US.
Really?
A24.
Produced it. But who made it?
I don't know. I think she's, I don't know, Canadian or some shit. I don't know.
I have no idea.
But the film takes place in New York and Korea and a little bit of Canada.
Okay. Was it good?
Very good. I liked it. Did you see that, Jerry?
It's good.
That was the homework that I skipped out on the way here. I really wanted to see it because you were talking it up the night of the Oscars. So
yeah,
I was like, man, that's the one I really
I'll
need
continue
to, see.
To talk that film up. I think it was pretty interesting.
I saw a frame and it looked pretty. Looks real pretty.
It is very nice cinematography.
I was like, oh, that looks like a good film. I should watch that.
You know, and good tight editing. I always will say, and I'll say it, I love a movie that ain't afraid to show your actors at their backs. You know, where a scene where it's just like, you're just like watching from behind them and they're just talking and they're just out of frame. Like, I love that. Like, you know, the movie I always think about with that is the Sofia Coppola Lost in Translation.
Uh-huh.
You see a lot of back.
I love that movie.
God damn it.
So does Tom.
I do love that movie.
For the first minute and a half.
I love the whole thing. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a very good
Sorry, movie. We're drinking some Chivas, you know, in honor of, you know, Hunter S. Thompson.
Channeling the inner.
Was he a Chivas man?
He is a Chivas man, yes, sir.
Chivas and ice.
Yep, and ether. Okay, we got really off track there. I'm sorry. I think that was my fault.
Well, so this is a Oscars recap thing. Wait, how? Well, fuck it. It's an Oscars recap thing that we're talking about.
Plus Jared.
Yeah.
Oscars retrospective?
Oscars retrospective. Yeah.
Oscars postmortem?
Sure.
So do you guys remember any of the winners? What? You want to go down the list and see if we remember who won?
Do you want me to go from like, back
memory,
to top.
Memory game.
Whichever one looks sexier.
Best visual effects went to Godzilla.
Oh, well, that's
minus
was an awesome one, right?
I mean, that may not have been the right choice, but I love that it was the choice.
Honestly, it probably was the right choice. It was pretty damn amazing.
It was.
It had some insane VFX.
Albeit, I do agree with a lot of the issues that you have with the story and the sluggishness and the melodramatic of it.
That's Godzilla.
But Monster, I gotta say, once Godzilla gets going, Godzilla, dude, Jesus. I feel like once that movie starts, it just doesn't stop, and it feels so cool. Like as soon as they start mining the sea,
yeah,
and it turns into Jaws,
yeah,
that was perfect. And then the music when she sees it, the Godzilla for the first time, like outside the cart, the subway cart,
yeah,
it's like dun 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 dun. And she's just like, oh fuck, I'm dead,
dude. She's on. Well, never mind.
She's if you haven't seen it, no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. But yeah, that's a great one, right? The creator was up too.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty good.
I thought the creator was great. I love when sci-fi isn't afraid to go in the daytime.
Yeah.
And the creator had a lot of, it did have a lot at night, but they were some gorgeous, like when they're in the rice paddies.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a, that's the competition there for that one.
Yeah. Best sound. Oh, Jared, any thoughts on Godzilla?
It was beautiful. Beautiful.
Saw it?
No. You should not see that one.
Are you a Godzilla guy?
I not... too much, but I'm not like against the idea of learning to become a Godzilla guy. Like, it's not, you know, something that really gets at me. I would love it. I love movies like that. Like Pacific Rim was one of my favorites.
Have you ever seen the first one?
Wait, the one with Matthew Broderick?
No.
the first one.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. The original?
Yeah. Oh, the old black and white one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. 54, 56.
I haven't seen it all the way through, but I've like seen the clips of like the...
Oh, dude, if you want to get like, see if Godzilla is good, you got to watch the original. And I think once you see that, you're like, yeah, that's cool. It's pretty good.
You know, when Minus One comes out, a Godzilla, the original, Shin, Minus One.
I think it goes in that order too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't start off with a Minus One, bro. Don't start off with that one.
No, that's
watch the original first.
That's the one that's going to wake everyone up.
You know what? You know what's
like,
going
to be my more different, is, really?
I've seen all the bad Godzilla movies. Like,
I love the bad ones, though. There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. The Hollywood ones, basically. Those are the ones I've seen.
Oh, those are bad too. Yeah.
You know?
The MonsterVerse,
like the one that came out a few years ago with
Godzilla vs Kong.
Yeah,
so bad. You know, there's another one coming out too
at the end of this month,
and I'm gonna watch it.
I'm taking Luke, dude.
I'm like, I don't want to. It's gonna be so bad.
But yeah, but still, even though like the storylines are so god awful, they make those fights fun as fuck. It's like going. I mean, I know you're a UFC guy, but I mean, I'm sure it doesn't even get close to matching that kind of excitement, but it's kind of like going to watch a good Rocky fight, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to Godzilla for character development.
No, but that's the thing. That's why the top three are the top three.
Yeah, they really are.
Is because they're the ones with actually the best characters. Because a lot of people are like, to be traditionally Godzilla, you should have bad characters and dumb storylines. Like, and no, no, it works both ways quite well. I think when you have a good storyline, good characters, and good Godzilla, you have a really good fucking movie. That's
just like excusing like mediocrity. Like, oh, well, it's okay. It's supposed to be bad. Like, no, you can write a good story and still have a kick-ass fight scene.
Oh,
that's what I've been telling people about Zack Snyder for years.
Yeah.
If only he could write.
Let me ask you, buddy.
Yeah.
Does King Kong rank as a kaiju? He does, right? In a sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would say maybe not in some ways because he's actually kind of small.
Original not about King- the size, buddy. Let me tell you, it's not about the size. Okay,
I'm just saying, original King Kong ain't that big.
Yeah, he's not that big.
Yeah, like it takes him a while to climb up the Empire State Building. Godzilla could like fucking.
He is the Empire. What she said one time.
Yeah, he is the Empire State Building. It's like.
But let me actually ask you this.
Yeah.
What's the better original film, King Kong, or Godzilla? You know the answer.
Godzilla.
Really?
Oh you yeah. Think so?
I'd say King Kong.
Man. There's nothing as strong as that scene in the original Godzilla.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
There's some really powerful moments when they're like, the family's like resigned to death and they're like, we're going to be with daddy soon. Don't worry. We're just going to be with daddy. And then Godzilla kills them. And it's like, fuck, man. I just wanted to watch the happy lizard dance around. Like, what the fuck? You know, like if that's what the Godzilla you've never seen, and then you watch like all the fun Godzillas where, you know, he's fun and he's a good dad, you know, she's a good dad or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to assume Godzilla's gender. their gender. I don't know. Just that, you know, Godzilla in and around. So I guess you're talking about 98. It's for sure a woman.
What?
The 98 Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Weren't there eggs?
Matthew Broderick. They're like,
oh, no. Isn't the Godzilla asexual?
I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but that movie.
I saw it recently.
That movie has a really special magic. It makes you kind of feel wet in New York. You ever been wet in New York?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah. But you know, it's a little bit better than I realized.
That's all I'll say about that movie, though. And Jean Renault doing the Godzilla thing with the fire. Fucking brilliant.
All right. Well,
That one, and for sound now.
That was a Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest one for sound, which I thought that was the biggest no brainer to ever no brain.
Yeah, I saw some of Zone of Interest. Whew. And I guess, I don't know. The sound was great.
So yes. What was it about the sound that made it stand out so much?
The sound told a story in and of itself. So,
but
the
does
sound
that count
was,
though? Like,
absolutely. It's like the opposite of a silent film.
Because they use the sound like very much as a storytelling device. But.
So is it something where like they're showing one thing on the screen, but it's like the sound shows that something very different
yes.
is going
yes.
on?
The film is essentially a documentary of the family that lived outside of Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And it's, you hear all the sounds of Auschwitz. You hear the boilers running. You hear the furnace. You see the furnace smoke in the background, and they literally are describing, the family's just talking like, oh, like this new oven will burn 500 at a time in a rotating circle of four. And it's like, yeah. And then you just hear shots, gunshots in the background, like pop, 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 pop. And then it's like the kids are like dancing in the pool. And
they never show any like,
they never show, there's
imagery
almost
at
no
all.
Violence in the movie at all.
I see. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Just how normal and like mute the family had become to it. Because at one point in the film, the grandma comes to stay with them and she can't even stay there for like 2 days. Because it's like all you hear at night is just moaning and just gasping all night. And that she's just like putting headphones in and like trying to block out the light because you just see the burning furnaces.
Yeah.
Their room is orange, right? From the furnace glow.
Damn.
Like that's how close they are. And like the family's just, they're completely oblivious to it. Completely numb to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, the depiction of that and the story told through the sound is like, fuck, how can we get there?
All right.
You can't.
You won me over.
You can't imagine it. Like when you're watching it, it's like you almost can't imagine it.
Well, you can't, right?
But then you're like, it's true. And if that's fucking fuck. And that it's just like that on display. And it's so mundane. Like they're so normal. And you're like, how could evil be so normal? Like they should be in a dungeon with like Satan fucking them in the ass, you know, or something.
Well, I mean, now that's probably going on.
Oh, with Satan?
Yeah, yeah. Satan's definitely ramming something up there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to figure none of those people are still around. Maybe the kids.
Oh, yeah. I think the dude, Rudolf Hess's wife didn't die until 89.
Jesus Christ. Of course.
Right? And she's just as complicit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the kids, I don't know, man. I seen Damien before. I mean, I seen The Omen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid looked a little German to me. you know, but that's how it starts. And, you know, and then it's like everyone's just like, you know, pretty soon there's just camps of people. It's like fucking nuts. Best short live action. Let's go into a...
Okay, no idea. Hey, a category.
Yeah, I saw all of these.
Films. Yeah. So how did you see them in the first place?
Yeah, this is a great fucking topic. Good. Yeah.
So the local movie theater actually did a run of all of the short nominees. So the short live actions, and then an intermission, and then did the best short animated films. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I left after like the second animated film because I was just like, I don't like these as much. Well, because
how long of an event was it?
It was 4 hours. So I sat through the short. I think all of the live action shorts were fucking brilliant. I think they were all great. I went back and forth on which one I liked the most, but I think the one I liked the most was Night of Fortune. It was, okay. I think it was a Danish film. It was like an older gentleman who was seeing his wife for the last time or something like that in a funeral home, and he was having a hard time saying goodbye. So before he looked like in her casket, he went to the restroom and met another man who's having an issue saying goodbye to his wife. So it was like a story of these two lonely men sort of finding each other and helping them through this hard time. And it's got some humor in there, and the cinematography, I think, was really good. I think some of the shots they got were really powerful and good. I really like that one a lot. But it didn't win. It lost to, and The After was really good too. The After.
It lost to The After?
No. Oh. The After was my second favorite one.
Oh, okay.
It was set in the UK about a man who loses his family. And then like the aftermath of that, like what he goes through after that. And the reason why this one caught me was like it towards the end of that one, he does this like guttural, just from the depths of your soul cry that felt so real. You know, one of those that you're just like making disgusting noises and you can't breathe. And you're just like, he did one of those that looked so real to me that I was like, oh, like that is one of the best crying scenes I've seen in anything on film. So that one really caught me. Overall, I don't think it was that great.
We had a kid. Remember that guy that auditioned for Dickhead? He did that. Remember that guy?
Oh. Oh, yeah.
How could you forget?
That's what you mean.
The screamer. Oh, sorry. But the one that won was The Wonderful World of Harry Sugar or whatever, right?
Harry Sugar, yeah.
Do you think that deserved it at all?
The Wes Anderson one, right?
On the night of the Oscars, I was pissed. I was like, what the fuck? But the more I thought about it, I was like, it was very well done. Like, it was the perfect amount of Wes Anderson at this point.
Yeah.
All the performances were really good. It had Dev Patel. It had, who was the main guy? It was Benedict Cumberbatch. There's a lot of good people. The story was pretty interesting. It was a Roald Dahl story about a guy who learns to see without his eyes so he can gamble and cheat. So I don't know. But it was like, it was very Wes Anderson. Think about Wes Anderson and think about the kind of thing he makes, and you could probably picture it in your mind.
Did you ever see Asteroid City?
Yes.
Was it similar to Asteroid City?
I liked it better than everything he's done for the last such. It was closer to like a Grand Budapest Hotel to me.
Damn. I thought the Grand Budapest Hotel is like
his
best one.
I agree. But it wasn't that level.
Wes Anderson-ness.
Yeah. It was more like that than it was Asteroid City.
Is it because it's a short that it's kind of perfect because you can only take so much Wes Anderson?
That's why I said it's the right amount of Wes Anderson. And it moved. Yeah. It moved really quickly, and there was no right. That's where I think Asteroid City kind of fell down, is there were so many slow moments that just bog the movie down and
to like, shit, I wish an asteroid would fall on me. Cast meteor, Sephiroth, come on.
That's what he was actually doing. He was trying to cast meteor.
But it moved. It was good. It was it was funny. Yeah.
Want to see this film now?
Yeah, definitely.
It's short. It's a short film too. And I wanted to say, like, isn't it kind of crazy, like, the world of short film in the sense that, like, we make short films and then, like, this is the shit that people get, like, I don't mean shit, like, isn't bad, but it's, like, damn, Everest is up there, like, holy shit, like, this is what the same competition that, like, the fucking, you know, short I made when I was a kid, like, there's, goddamn, when you actually can put money or actually just have that skill.
Well, buddy, I'll be honest. When it comes to Oscars, we don't got to worry. Don't worry about it, man. We can, maybe you just do your best, buddy. You just do your best.
Maybe we can win Best Original Song. We got to start writing our Oscar winner.
Yeah. Well, so. Oh, never mind. What's next on the list?
Animated short.
Well, that's. Does anyone know who even won?
Yeah, War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
Oh.
Didn't stay to watch that one.
Sounds interesting, though.
I left.
Yeah, cool.
All right, what else?
Let's go. Best International Feature Film, which was Zone of Interest.
Oh, well, okay, so that's how they did it, huh? We're not going to give you Best Picture, so we'll give you... Best International, right?
There's a lot of controversy about that because the directors were talking about Palestine, Free Palestine.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people were like, the Zone of Interest guy is it's an anti-Semite. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, wow.
It was in his acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I missed a lot, huh?
Yeah, but yeah. Best makeup and hairstyling. Poor Things.
Poor Things.
I feel like every technical award was obviously going to go to Poor Things, except for cinematography.
And that was going to Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah. And I got all those right.
Because that expensive ass IMAX film, it cost $275 million.
That's what I'm saying about Nolan. I don't know. I've been thinking about him a lot today. And it's like, he gets to play with the best of the best. But yeah. It's like, and I think he's just trying too hard to emulate Kubrick. I just, like, he is such a fucking Kubrick copycat. Like, I don't know. I might be wrong. I mean, I'd love to hear people think.
No, I don't think so.
But I feel like, yeah, he's like, I got, you know, he's just like, I'm just trying to do my Kubrick stuff.
I don't know. I feel like he's carving out his own thing for himself. Like, I think going from making, you know, his own films to tackling Batman and doing such a good job with Batman was like a pretty brave thing to do.
He gave us Marvel.
Oh, no. I don't know. I might have to reconsider now. But I think that's a really brave thing for a director who was making the kind of films he was making to do.
Oh, I love Nolan. I just think when I compare, like, when you compare him to against the Pantheon, your Fellinis and your Godards and everything, because it's like when people are putting him in that contention.
I don't know about that.
And you're like, you know, have you ever heard of it, like Tarkovsky? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I think he's overrated. That's what I'm trying to say. He's overrated, but he's not bad. I mean, he doesn't make, Tenet.
I was about to say, did those people watch the movie Tenet?
I hated Tenet.
Tenet was really, I mean, that was really bad.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, how did, like, and you got to make another $200 million movie right after this? Like, what the fuck you, dude?
Yeah.
And he made it $100 million in profit, personally, off Oppenheimer.
Well, good on him, man. I mean, I have my issues with Nolan. I even before you did, I was like, man, Nolan. But you know, I do appreciate him because it's like, well, if 200, right? Because the film was 200 million.
Yeah.
Well, if this much money can go to this kind of film, that's awesome. And like advocating
for actual film shot, and like I'm glad he's there, you know, to kind of keep that art tour thing alive and not let it just go all to corporatism, you know, like Marvel.
Do you guys think he's sort of a victim of his own success in the way that, you know, he's made such successful movies in the past, so there's nobody there to tell him no anymore. There's nobody there to say, hey, maybe that's not a great idea, or you know, maybe we don't want to give you the money for this. But that's how Tenet gets made, because people read the script and they're like, what the fuck is it? He made Memento work. Like, just give him the money.
But yeah, exactly. His it's kind of like the George Lucas thing. No one can tell him no. Like, yeah, he's too big for an editor. Genius.
Yeah,
he's a genius. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at him, he's not a genius.
No. Well, that's the thing is,
you know, guys, I got Neanderthal eyebrows.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because he got so successful so quick. He didn't quite learn along the way, you know?
Yeah. And also, I think my biggest problem with Nolan, though, too, is just like he's not good at writing interesting characters.
No. You know, Nolan would do good not to write his films.
And he's telling these epic stories about characters we don't give a shit about.
But that's a credit to him, though, right? Because look how successful the film was.
Yeah.
It's like, just, no, but, you know, a credit to him, because in the box office, it made a ton of money, right? A lot more than it was projected to, I think. And then it, you know, won a fair amount of Oscars, you know? So it's critically acclaimed, box office acclaimed. You know, it's the best package there is.
I know, dude, but it's
he's best director, baby.
I think it got a lot of... sorry,
Jared, one second.
Like, putting together a package...
I gotta get this out before I lose it, Steven.
By all means.
It's the Emperor's new do or whatever, like, clothes. New clothes. Right? Like, no one sees that he's naked up there, like, right? Is that it?
But if the Emperor gets away with it... It's like, hell yeah, bitch.
I mean, go.
You've been looking at my dick this whole time.
Power, here I am. I guess that is what a genius
is. That's $100 million dick to you, buddy.
That's true.
Right? Next film's going to be $300 million, bitch.
thing I would do for $100 million, I'd definitely do Nolan. If I had to.
What's the lowest amount you would do Nolan?
I don't know. It's like $16.99.
Oh shit! Well, Nolan, hey,
you know,
69.
I'm doing him though, right? Like, he ain't doing
no,
me.
No, buddy, I'm sorry.
I got a $16.99 Audi and a $2 million innie.
You can finish him after if you want.
Oh, you'd settle for way less than $2 million.
He'd be like, you know what? I'll produce whatever you want if you just reach around a little bit.
So, oh yeah, dickhead too, yeah. Mr.
Produced by Christopher Nolan. A film by Christopher Nolan, Dickhead 2, the Dickening.
Chris, you did it again. You like Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
And somehow where you end up broke and blacklisted out of the industry.
Al Pacino, I open the Oscar and my eyes see the Dickhead 2.
All right.
Whoa!
Nolan, how did you do it? I mean, Tom and Steven, get up here.
Nah, but really, what are we on?
I don't know.
Animated short.
We were talking shit about something.
Hair and makeup, Poor Things. That's what we were talking about.
You said Poor Things should get every technical award?
Yeah.
And then that turned into a whole Nolan tangent.
Wait, you didn't like the sets.
I didn't like the background.
Yeah.
The stupid sky and like the CGI.
So like the art direction and all that?
I don't know if it was CGI. I feel like it was CGI, but I didn't like
that.
It was very distracting in how ugly I found it.
Found what?
The CGI sky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It looked like staring at my Windows 10 screensaver or something. And I was like, it's just making me fucking sick. But think about that CGI sky, and I know it's being way too overdramatic about
it. I was seeing some of the fisheye angles, and I was like, damn, man, fisheye is just so hard to pull off. Just stay away.
They kind of pull it off because they don't linger with it too long.
I saw some of that. I was like,
And it's supposed to be, there's a reason for the.
It makes sense.
It makes sense in the context of the film. That's up until a point.
That's another Best Picture I didn't see.
I think, the Best Pick, there's a lot of good Best Pictures. I think there are only four you don't need to see, and one of them won. So I think there was like six that really should be watched.
Wait, hold on.
I guess we can end up right
there. Hold that thought, though. So Poor Things, though.
Yeah. Good makeup.
Good makeup.
Yeah.
Good fisheye lens.
Good fisheye lens.
Good fisheye lens.
Okay. Because it was up for cinematography.
I know. I picked it.
Which one? What? Who won cinematography?
Oppenheimer.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, that feels... That's like the safe choice.
Right? Oppenheimer was... It's straight up and down,
bitch, right?
buttoned up and down. This is a movie. There's nothing beyond what we're saying in the script.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's your film.
And the script really sucked.
I'll give it some credit. There's a lot of names in there. I was able to follow it. And I'm bad at
names. I cringed so hard like three times in that movie. I wanted to leave. One, the weird sex scene where she says his most famous quote.
That's a weird scene.
I was like, okay. What the fuck is this? This isn't even interesting. It's so cringy.
Well, Nolan and sex sounds like a weird thing, you know?
Yeah, would you ever want to watch a Neanderthal fuck? I mean, yes. Yeah. That's a pretty obvious, yeah.
At least once.
Yeah. I mean, I got to make that money, you know?
But the cinematography in Poor Things was like purposeful. Like,
yes.
The way things were shot, the use of the fisheye lens was, there was a reason for it, and it was to, you know, I'm not going to spoil. Have you seen it?
No, not at all.
But it's you know, there's reasons for the things that they do and the way that they shoot things.
That
also helps to tell the story. It isn't just, we framed this shot of this military base really well.
Well, I will say, as a complete outsider who knows nothing about this film, I thought it was fucking ugly. Mm. I blame the angle. Oppenheimer!
You gotta watch it.
And you know what else sucked about Poor Things? The goddamn score.
Yes.
I was like, why the fuck is this shit nominated? Did you listen to the score?
I don't have a comment on it. I didn't really notice it.
That you're lucky.
It's a score, all right.
I gave it a chance.
I felt like this, I don't know, the beginning, the violins were, I don't know, kind of set up the feeling of the movie. But other than that, I didn't really notice
anything. All I'll say is its score sounded like if I made the score. By hand.
It wasn't for me, I'll say. It wasn't to my tastes. But I didn't see the film at all.
It's a must watch. I think Yorgos is one of those must watch filmmakers.
Well, he did The Favorite, right?
Yes.
And I had no interest in watching The Favorite. And then I saw The Favorite. I was like, Jesus Christ, this film is fucking amazing.
Yes.
You know? I was like, okay, this is great. I imagine Poor Things. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
But I was just going to say, I imagine Poor Things, I'm sure it does live up to.
It does.
To its hype.
Although.
He's good. But, you know, shit. Fuck it. I hated that score. I hated the fisheye.
There's just one thing about the story that I didn't like too
and
much.
The story is kind of weird.
It starts to. The third act kind of drags. Yeah. The third act, because it kind of changes, the type of story changes. It becomes less of an adventure. Because the movie is like a weird adventure where she's like traveling around the world and they're doing all this weird shit. Okay. And it's like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then that all stops. And then the movie slows down. Real slow.
But I think that works with the development of her character, you know, because at the beginning she's very childlike and learning very quickly, and things are moving very quickly.
Fuck you for making me feel so old.
I am old, goddammit.
Because you kind of watch her developmentally age at like an incredibly fast pace.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if she's truly a baby and doing the things she's doing, I mean, that's just...
Nah, but she also goes from like... She develops... Like almost like exponentially, I feel, because she goes like from like baby to child to teenager, like in like the span of months.
So she's like, did you ever see that one movie by Luc Besson?
Which one, Lucy?
Yeah, she exponentially gets stronger and stronger because her mind opens up.
Yeah,
she travels through time.
Yeah,
that should
Scarlett Johansson in that one, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. This is good. We haven't even talked about. Okay, let's go. Best score.
Not Poor Things.
Poor Things.
No.
Yeah, that's your pick?
That's my pick. I loved it.
Oppenheimer was one that won.
I liked Indie, dude. I only heard it for like two songs because my internet crashed because I was playing Magic the Gathering and I can't do both. But from what I heard, because it's not the dun-dun-dun-dun, that's not nominated, right? It's like new music for this.
Yeah.
And it was just, if you like, it just felt to me like if you like John Williams, this is like all of that John Williams goodness, you know?
I thought it was okay. I hated that movie, so maybe that kind of tinged the score for me.
Well, let that movie have at least one good thing, right?
But my favorite score wasn't even nominated, and it was The Boy and the Heron.
Did you see that movie?
I didn't see it. I listened to the score because I was like, I wonder like how this one is because I like Joe Hisaishi or Hisaishi. And
is that classic Ghibli, right?
Yeah.
Ghibli.
Yeah.
It was a classic
score by them.
Okay.
Super good. And I was like, that didn't even get nominated. All these other ones sucked. Like, Oppenheimer was good. Okay. I will.
Yeah.
Like I said, good, right? Oppenheimer has like, all the issues I have with it are, I have two issues with Oppenheimer. The editing and the story. The
editing definitely was oof.
Like, I hated the editing, the like weird cuts, like 50 cuts in their conversation, like five words just said.
Yeah.
It's like, too snappy. It was like cutting a Taken 4 action scene, but it was a dialogue scene, which is a real bold choice, I guess, but I fucking hated it. I don't like a lot of editing. I don't like a lot of cuts. I like in my films. I guess that's
why you like Poor Things.
But if you
so
like
much.
A lot of cuts, Oppenheimer, baby.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Be snappy.
And the story, stupid.
So score. What else was nominated?
American Fiction, which I mean, I don't remember.
You know, I listened to that whole score a few times. It's pretty good. It's just like.
Kind
is
of
it jazzy?
It was kind of jazzy and upbeat, kind of, which was weird. Nice.
But then John Williams happened.
Yep.
What else?
And then Killers of the Flower Moon.
I don't remember. No
one score. Nothing.
Yeah, well, it's Scorsese, right?
Yep, The Curse of Scorsese.
The Academy hates him. Do you think it should have won something?
Yeah.
What? What's the award?
Actress.
Lily Gladstone.
Okay. Emma Stone's performance is probably better, but because
that's best actress, right?
Yeah. Emma Stone in Poor Things is like pretty fucking insane. And I guess when you compare it again, I guess I can see that. I guess I wouldn't give it any awards.
So there you go. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I guess Academy probably wasn't that far off. Oh, no, wrong.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro.
Oh, for Best Supporting.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you said he was the most evil man ever depicted on cinema, I think is your quote. You stand by that?
I mean, I'm sure there's been some pretty evil dudes, but that real life dude was pretty fucking evil, man.
Did you read up on the real life guy at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I heard the movie's nowhere near as bad as what happened.
Yeah, real life was way worse.
Why do you think they shied away from it? Was it that bad? Like you don't even depict it?
I think it was like, I think they are adapting the story.
Because Scorsese's not shy of
it. It was
violence,
adapted
right?
of a book.
Yeah.
And the book, I think, was more focused on the FBI murders or the FBI investigation.
Uh-huh.
And then they kind of rewrote it to be more about the people. So maybe like they're trying to keep more in line with like the spirit of the book, which maybe wasn't as
so then the
graphic
book wasn't
in the detail.
Violent.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never read it.
Oh, so you just know compared
to
the movie.
To be honest, I'd never heard
to...
about any of this until the movie.
No, yeah, I never heard about it either.
And I was just like, when you hear about this, like stuff like this, like in American history, like, you know, like how it's like, oh yeah, we were so open about our past, man. You know?
Yeah.
You know, like you always give Japan shit because Japan is like, they always try to cover up like a lot of the atrocities in their own past, right?
World War II.
But it's like, we all fucking do it, right? Yeah. Like it sucks, but we do. I mean, it's a fucking shame. You know, because then we have to hear about it in a Scorsese movie instead of like learning about it, discussing it like among our peers in school, you know.
Yeah.
I came back around.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, and it won nothing. So let's go to a best original song, which went to Barbie, the credits scene song.
So not even I'm Ken, right? Wasn't that like
I was hoping wanted? The only Oscar Barbie one was I'm Just Ken.
I'm Just Ken.
Like the Barbie movie only gets an Oscar for Ken's song. That would just be so like...
I'm so fucked up. I can't even read the words on the paper.
Like I have, like I'm
trying to read what the Barbie song is that one, but I literally can't even read the text.
Jared, you're the most so
just for the comedic effect. That's what I was going for. It was
what was I made for? I got there.
I know it was Billie Eilish.
I want to talk about this thing, the fucking Hot Cheetos movie. Like, are we fucking serious,
dude? That song was spicy.
Dickhead won't get
Flaming
an
Hot
Oscar nomination, but the Hot Cheetos movie got a sponsor or a nomination. I mean, I don't even remember the song at all.
They performed it. They did a performance of the song at the Oscars.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was bad. It was like,
okay. Oh, it was the one everyone was like, it's just four words repeated.
Yeah, everyone hated it.
It's
when you watched it.
You know, like it's called The Fire Inside. El Fuego. El Fuego.
El Fuego. El Fuego. El Fuego. All right, I can see why everyone kind of hated it. Yeah.
Caliente.
El Fuego. El Fuego.
Please, I'm telling you, we can ride on, we get an Oscar, bro.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Best original song, we can do it. We make a whole movie about us trying to get an Oscar for best original song, and we write the song and we sing it in the movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then it won't fucking win. And no one will ever watch it.
So for us.
Oh, yeah. And we'll pat ourselves on the back and say, we were so meta.
So far ahead of our times.
All right. Best production design. That went to
That sounds Poor like Things. That should go to Poor Things. I saw, it's like, yeah, that looks pretty
good. Dude, the sets.
Next level.
Are so fucking, like, other than the ugly sky. The sets are fucking beautiful.
They but built a lot of them.
Would the sky be considered part of the set?
If they had built it, it would have been. But I think they just
CGI'd it. But would set, like, cover it?
No.
No?
I don't think so. That's VFX.
Damn, they're like, fuck your set design.
It was probably,
I like this sky.
It was probably just a blue wall in real life, right? It's just,
yeah.
You know, there's...
Yeah, there wasn't a real sky like that out there. So they're just...
No, that sky's not a real sky.
Yeah.
But yeah. Beautiful set design, beautiful art direction. I mean, it's Yorgos. You've seen The Favorite. It's it's that same like hyper intensive super art. Like every bit of the frame is just filled with color and light and pictures and objects and paintings and flowers and all kinds of shit. Like every inch of the frame is just like right, like The Favorite, like what they're in the French castle or the
Emma Stone's in The Favorite, huh?
Yeah, she is.
She was nominated, right?
Yeah, I think she was. Yeah.
Jeez,
make a good combo.
Didn't she drop Babylon for Poor Things?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She read Chazelle's script and she read Yorgo. She's like, "All right, Chazelle, you know I'm a little busy over here."
I mean, she got the Oscar.
She produced.
He got
it.
The flop.
You know? She produced the film too.
Yeah. I mean, which I think is like the only way she could really do a movie like that, because it's just like, it's all her, right? It's like, if you're going to make a movie that's just about you, you should probably help a little bit. You know? I mean, there are moments where she is not like in frame, but that is like, that movie is 90% Emma Stone.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Like, that's how much, like, that's how fucking good she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it sounds like she should have got Best Actress.
And it has Margaret Qualley in it. And I'm like kind of in love with her.
Margaret Qualley?
Yeah.
Who?
Yep. Okay. Best film editing. Oh my God.
Oppenheimer.
Did
they actually win?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is the highest APM award.
This is the what the fuck award. I don't know how, like, Elvis got nominated for best editing. I thought that was the worst editing I've ever seen until I seen Oppenheimer, and that won for best editing. So what the fuck? Am I just...
Maybe that's where the style is.
Dickhead, man. We're in trouble, dude.
Buddy, that's barely made me realize we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
I mean, the Academy hates me, apparently. I don't... Well, they don't hate. They just have the complete opposite style.
I would say the one thing that stood out to me that I didn't like about Oppenheimer was the editing. It was just too snappy, just too quick. I was like, what's going on? Like, this should... Be slower, like slow down. You know,
I'm old.
Why are we snapping back and forth, Mr. Nolan? It hurts. So yeah, that's wow. I really didn't think they got it. That's funny.
Yep. And documentary short, no clue.
Yeah. I don't remember. None of these look familiar.
Documentary short. Those lazy fuckers. Like, why not just turn it into a full documentary?
I don't know what it was.
That much to uncover.
Yeah, it would be a complete guess if I said best documentary feature.
Congratulations.
That was maybe Four Daughters.
20 Days of...
Oh, 20 Days in Maripol, of course, yes. Make a documentary about Ukraine. Get an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I mean, I'm sure it's fucking terrible to watch.
Oh,
as any documentary should be.
But I mean, it's like a, when I saw it on the list, I was like, this is the easiest pick in my life.
Check.
Yep. Best costume design, Poor Things. That's a big obvious, duh.
Napoleon, was its only award?
Yeah, it was nominated for that. And I think biggest piece of shit.
Whatever it took.
I kid. But yeah, Poor Things, costume design, duh. Cinematography, we talked about this a bit, Oppenheimer.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like you said, Jared, it's completely boring.
Who did you what?
It's completely safe.
For cinematography.
Poor Things.
Poor Things?
Mm-hmm.
You saw Poor Things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said everything was intentional?
I felt like, it was like, there was a reason for the way these things were shot and the angles they took or the fisheye lens, you know.
And then, how with Oppenheimer, how do you feel?
I thought it was fine. I thought it was competent. I think Oppenheimer, I think, is competent. I don't think it's anything beyond that.
Well, that's fair, because like when Tom was talking about best sound, and then he was like, yeah, but the sound is telling a story on top of it, you know, as opposed to the technical aspects, because I would say Oppenheimer is just way better technically. But if you consider the story the cinematography is telling and how it's telling it, I mean, I could see that as a good, strong argument for Poor Things to get it if it accomplishes those means.
I guess now that I think about it a little bit more, the Oppenheimer editing was good because I was able to follow this complicated...
So you like the editing?
I mean, I liked it, but I don't think it was the best.
Okay.
Like, I thought I was able to follow what was going on. You know, they did cut to the black and white, which is the... I guess it was the present or the future or whatever.
Yeah, that's represented different times, right? Like, periods, like past, present, or some shit.
Or is it just not in the current timeline?
Present was color, right?
No, the color was in past. The past was in color. Or it was...
See?
It was when it was black and white whenever it was like not telling you the truth or a different perspective or something.
Robert Downey Jr. was always in black and white until the end, right? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I came in an hour late.
Oh.
There is a reason.
You didn't miss much.
But...
There is a reason for the black and white. I just don't remember.
Oh, that says a lot.
It was like when they were talking about... What the events, it was in black and white, but when they were showing the events, it was in color.
Yeah.
So black and white. I was going to say that was the exposition, but the whole movie's exposition, right?
Essentially, yes.
It's like a fucking, what's that?
The whole
guy who did the West Wing.
Aaron Sorkin.
It's like a wannabe Aaron Sorkin film.
We're just there for the money shot, really. Everyone knows.
And I will say, I didn't even like the detonation.
Wow, you want a bigger explosion, mister?
I don't know. I just...
Wasn't it a real one?
You just can't be pleased, can you?
You know, I like 2001.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There are some parts of like, come on. Come on, bro.
In 2001?
I mean, it was fine.
No, Oppenheimer's good. It is a good film.
I still would give it a 7 out of 10.
It's like... The film to me is a B minus, and everyone's giving it an A plus plus plus. This is number one kid in the class. You know, it's like, yeah, bro, come on, he ain't that special, bro.
That's what I'm saying. It just, it's like everywhere, everything all at once. Yeah, everyone was just like fucking, oh, that's the greatest. This changed my life.
Yeah,
and you're just like it.
Yeah, when I finally saw that movie, I liked it, but if everyone not had done that, I would have liked it a lot more. But because people did that, I was like, this is fine.
That's true.
This is fine.
There is that aspect to why I hate that movie so much. But I kind of just, I don't know. Something about that one bothers me. Something about Oppenheimer. It's like, I don't know. There's something that really bothers me here too.
And then we have Best Animated Feature. Boy and the Heron, Miyazaki's film. I haven't seen it.
Appropriate, I feel. But I wonder if it's... Because I heard some people talking about, they're like, oh, it's not as good as like Spirited Away or something.
Yeah.
Which is always going to be what he's compared to though, right? Did he beat Spirited Away? And like, he didn't. But then I was hearing about, I think, the story of it. And I was like, damn, this really sounds really good. And did you see it?
Mm-mm. I haven't seen it.
I could have sworn someone told me about it. And I was like, damn, that sounds like a really good Miyazaki film.
No, but not yet.
Did you see it, Jared?
No.
Well, there you go.
Pass me
soon.
By.
As soon as I can, I will watch it.
Anytime I see Miyazaki in an award next to it, I'll be like, okay, it's probably earned.
Can we do a pause?
No.
For a pee and a drink?
Yes. All out.
Okay.
We usually don't do these things, but...
No, we do not.
Since you're a guest, all out.